listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 16, if you would, this morning. Here's what Jesus says to you today. I simply represent the voice of God in some way, shape, or form. But here's Jesus' words directly to you. And here's what he says. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. That's Jesus' words to you this morning. And I want to talk to you about gifts. John talked a little bit about that. I want to talk to you about not only gifts, but giving of gifts today. Before I get into all of that, may I say this. God knows how to give good gifts to his children. How many could go to the bank on that statement? John chapter 3, verse number 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We fast forward and look ahead to the coming of the wise men, and they brought gifts to the young child Jesus. Compared to our giving, our gift giving, how many could conclude that God is infinitely better at giving gifts? Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11 says, If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Let me remind you that Christmas began with a gift. The gift was a Savior wrapped in the body of an infant. And by the way, this is by far the greatest gift that the world has ever known. The idea of gift giving is central to Christmas. It is true. Much that has been secularized, and we can be distracted by materialism, run rampant, but we should think of gifts as trinkets that symbolize the greatest gift ever given. So whatever gift you give this year, or whatever gift you receive this year, and such as what John presented to me this morning on behalf of this house, here's what I'd like for us to be thinking. Whenever a gift comes our way, let that trigger something in your thinking of God's gift to you. And every Christmas, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift giver, comes to give us gifts. And so this morning, I want to unwrap five Christmas gifts from Jesus to each of us this morning. And hopefully, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll be able to unveil the truth of each of these in such a way that it'll enhance your walk with God and change even the next few weeks that you celebrate Christmas in your home and with your families. So let me give you the five here. The first gift that Jesus unpacks to us, or even unwraps for us, is the gift of ultimate joy. And there is a difference between joy and happiness, and you need to know the difference. Jesus gives us ultimate joy. He said, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Happiness comes and goes, but God seats joy inside of our lives. Church, this is a glimpse of heaven. Heaven is coming. And if you think back over recent weeks, months, and even within the last year or so, many of you have lost loved ones, but I shouldn't say the word lost, because they are discovering today the fullness of God in heaven. We believe heaven is a real place. And the little bit of joy that we have at Christmas, and the dose of joy that we have in our lives as Christians, and the Jesus joy we experience as his followers, will be eclipsed, let me tell you, based on what the Bible says, by an awesome, eternal, never-ending joy that will last through endless amounts of time in eternity called heaven. And that is what you and I have to look forward to. And that is what we're all fired up about. And all that ultimate joy is ours because 2,000 years ago, God did the amazing thing and demonstrated his love toward us, because Jesus came. The only begotten Son of the Father came as an expression of love. So the first Christmas gift is Jesus and the ultimate joy that he provides you. So look inside of you, reach in there, because he has given you joy. That's a gift to you from Jesus. Let me give you a second gift that he gives to us, and that is answered prayer. In John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says this, and whenever he uses the words truly, truly, you know that he's really up to something. That's a very major point he wants to get to us. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." That's called answered prayer. "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Here's a question for you. So, why aren't more Christians experiencing the gift of answered prayer? Well, I've got some ideas on that. For some of us, the answer is simple, in that we do not ask. James chapter 4, verse number 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." Sometimes, church, we flat out do not pray. We're not praying. We're not asking. How do we expect if we don't ask? So when was the last time you took hold of God's throne about something in your life and you you earnestly sought his face. You need to ask him. Hebrews chapter 4:16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, number one, sometimes we just don't ask. We don't pray. Secondly, sometimes the content of our prayers disqualifies us from answers. Have you ever wondered about all the ridiculous prayers that God gets before him? If your 7-year-old son comes to you and says, "Dad, give me the keys, I'm going to take the family car for a drive." How many know some of our prayers need adjustment, if I can put it that way? James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." Really, sometimes our prayer requests are amiss. They're selfish, they're foolish, they're downright stupid. Notice the qualifiers Jesus puts on all of our prayers. Whatever we ask, it must be in his name. In other words, Jesus has got to put a stamp of approval on what we're asking. Don't let your ego get bruised when he says, "No, that's not going to qualify. I can't put my name on that one." I mean, no, Jesus has a reputation to protect. Whatever we ask must be in his name. And Jesus said the only prayers that are answered are those that will advance his purpose, his timing, and his methodology. Because of Jesus, we can talk to the God of the universe. And I want to remind you, that's a major, major gift granted us. Okay? So, number two gift is answered prayer. Number three gift is the Father's love. John 16:27 says, "For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." So we need to understand, yes, Jesus is our mediator. He is our advocate to the Father. But do you realize that you have access into the very throne room of God because he loves us? And he loves us because we love his Son, Jesus. We believe in him. And through our Savior, we have access to the perfect and eternal Father. And we find everything our hearts are longing for. Our needs are met before the Father. Jesus was born, lived, and died to connect us to our Heavenly Father. Aren't you grateful? The love of the Father. Gift number three. So if Jesus was sitting across the room from you and he opened up the next gift, gift number four, let me tell you what that might be. It might be lasting peace. "I said these things to you," Jesus says, "that in me you might have peace. So let me give you a quick synopsis of what peace is. Peace is the calm assurance that what God is doing is best in your life. Now, you may be confused about what he's doing, but if you come to terms with the fact that God will always do good things in your life, that will bring peace your way, regardless of the weather, regardless of your health, your circumstances, your pain, even your loss. What God is doing is best. Can you resign yourself to that? At some point, darkness will give way to light. The valley will give way to higher ground again, and God will be shown true, victorious, right, and awesome in your life. Just got to stay the course. I've experienced this miracle of how the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. I've experienced that. But when I have lost it at times, that is, lost peace at times, it's because I gave it up myself and try to work it out on my own accord. However, when I've wanted and sought after peace again, God has graciously given it freely and generously. Peace that passes all understanding. His peace is an awesome gift to each one of us. That's God's gift to you this 2022 Christmas. Let me give you a fifth, if I can, and that is an overcoming heart. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus assures us, in the world you will have tribulation. In this verse, Jesus literally says this, but take heart. I have overcome the world. As we face challenges, and you will, we can be courageous, we can be cheerful, and we can have confidence. I want you to see this little phrase, take heart, because I want to isolate that. That little phrase, take heart, means to get after it, to move on it. Don't sit passively by. Step up into the faithfulness and the promises of God. By faith, believe that your best days are yet ahead of you. Can you know that? And that God is going to do some awesome things in your life. What a gift. That we can approach life with the attitude that we are overcomers. So let me back up into these gifts if we can. They're piled up, kind of like your Christmas morning. An overcoming heart. Peace, amazing peace that God bestows on us through Christ Jesus. Father's love, answered prayer. And the very first one that I gave you was ultimate joy. Now today, I just want to wrap up. We're going to have a wonderful time together. But I want to remind you that Jesus gives us these five amazing gifts, but the ultimate gift is always Jesus himself. With him, you get everything. Without him, you have nothing. No matter what you have, But I want to ask you to walk in the truth of what God has given you today. You were given some candles when you came in on these, in these plastic holders. In a few moments, the children are going to join us. And we're going to hear a couple songs here. The first one that Kristen's going to share with us is beautiful, no question. But as you stand to your feet, the ushers are going to come to the outs, to the aisles, and light these candles, and you will be asked to light the person's candle next to you. So what this represents to us, church, is this, is that Jesus has manifested himself to us and shed his light to our life. Then when we have each of these candles all lit up and Kristen sings the second song, I'm going to encourage you to start moving from where you are. Not seated, you'll be standing. And I want us to kind of crowd this front portion of the church if we can. Because I want us to realize that the display will be, whereas we have individually been exposed to the light of Christ, it's not God's intention that we be an island to ourselves, but that we collectively, as a house, represent the light of Christ together. Your strengths become my strengths. My strengths become yours, and together we're called to reach a community for Christ. But it all begins with the person of Jesus. So would you stand to your feet with me right now? And let's prepare to have these candles lit this morning.
Oh, night. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here come the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings was lowly in the manger in all our trials, born to be our friend.
Of that song penetrate your heart. Now let's carefully move forward here to collectively represent God's expression on the planet. Presents your redeemed life, changed by the power of Jesus Christ, eternally. I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, this day we come. We lift this candle up as a token of what you have done through your Son, Jesus, in our lives. You've redeemed us. You've changed us. You've translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And for that, we thank you. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, and that is your Son, Jesus, who came to transform every person on the planet. And that brings us to our life to count for you. And so I'm praying for this people group here today, each one transformed by the power of Jesus. And Lord, we want to carry the torch, the message of your love wherever we go. So whereas you have changed us individually, we bind and join our hearts together with one another to be a corporate voice, extending your love, your grace, and your mercy. So, Lord, we're asking today that in this season, this 2022 season, that you will give us opportunity to represent you and speak of the love of God. And may people be transformed by the message that you've given to us. So we say thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the gift of God. And Lord, for the many gifts you give us. We've only talked about five of them today. But we're so grateful for each and every one of those expressions. So we pray that our lives will be effective for you, individually and as a corporate church body. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's blow the candle out before we have a disaster. And then I want you to applaud the Lord and give him praise for his goodness to you this morning. God bless you. Have an awesome Christmas and enjoy your families and the body of Christ together. We'll see you on Christmas Day for communion together.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.